Welcome back, real estate rock stars. Today's guest is one of my favorite humans. He is a straight up tell it how it is, even if it's an unpopular opinion type of dude. So brace yourself. Today's show starts out normal, but turns into more of a discussion than a masterclass, like lots of riffing, lots of back and forth between him and I. And here's what you can expect to learn: how to get better at scripting. You won't like the answer. How often you should follow up with leads. You won't like the answer. What the four square method is and why you should be doing it at every listing appointment. You will like that answer. Plus, hard lessons learned from both myself and our guest, Matt Chick. Matt used to run four car dealerships before he pivoted to real estate in 2017, but he took his sales and management skills with him, which helped him close 1,000 units retail, 200 plus in the investment space over his time in the game. And now he leads a team of 8 agents in the Phoenix, Arizona area. And guys, before we hit record, Matt was just talking about how bummed he was that he missed the 2024 Real Estate Rockstars Mastermind. So if you are also bummed that you missed it, make sure you snag your slot because we will sell out again. We're capping at 100 agents. So it's next year, 2025 in March in Austin, Texas. If you know you want a slot, you can register using the link in the show notes or hit me up on the gram. I'll share it with you at The Shelby Show. And with that, guys, welcome Matt Chick. Matt, the market is tough. Interest rates are too high, and my brokerage is not training me. Nothing is working no matter what I do. Okay, what do you say to me?
Oh, good. It's so funny because we have this conversation. We're having this conversation every day right now. That's the honest truth. Like, my agents are feeling it. The marketplace is feeling it. Everybody's feeling it. And I feel a little shitty about kind of where I'm at with it because it's just like, we can either make excuses about how hard everything's gotten, or we can just go out and execute more, go have more conversations, do the things that we know that we need to do that has made us successful at this point, right? So I think the challenge is the broker just not training. Honestly, like, if you're connected to some place right now, it's more important than ever to be connected to someone that can have the conversation, that can navigate the conversation, and isn't scared of a compensation conversation, for one, right? Even with interest rates being high, the lawsuit, all of that stuff, we're still transacting business. People are still getting their unfair share depending on their skill set. So I really feel like this market right down comes down to your skill set. So what are you training on? What's your conversations? Where are you showing up every day? And then do you have the fucking activity to go out there and get in front of enough people? Because that's honestly what it comes down to, is know what to say. That's your scripts, right? Have people to say it to. That's your prospecting. And then say it over and over and over and over and over until you're consistent with it. That's what produces the result.
Okay, dude, let's break that
down.
That's
what the fuck I would do.
Okay, perfect. So let's start with, you broke it down into know what to say, have people to say it to, and then do it over again. Do the boring activities. So knowing what to say, how do I get good at that?
Scripts, 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 and more scripts. You know, like, it's, there's no secret sauce about it. And I say who's training you is who's attached to you. If you're not someone that naturally has the ability to go, okay, this is the question that I'm going to get asked, let me break that question down and how would I respond, right? Or if you're not plugging into seminars or trainings or just the market of the moment stuff that people are having this conversation with and then developing your own thing, then you got to be getting trained by someone, whether that's either paid training, going on to a team that has a high level communicator that is actually out there having the conversations and not just training the conversation, or a real estate coach that is actually doing real estate and not someone that is just making shit up on their fucking own, right? I mean, that's the big thing. But it's really not that hard. It's just break down the question. What questions are we getting right now in the marketplace, and how do we have conversations around it? I also think it's people are so afraid of the question. And this goes back to script because they don't know the, how to have the answer. I don't know about you, but I know personally me, I'm constantly thinking of the conversations that I have on a daily basis. So whether it be overcoming a seller objection or an investment objection or an agent objection or just an agent conversation, how could I get better at those? I kind of role play them in my mind all day long. And maybe that's a little different or unique. But that's kind of how
just I crazy. Do it. Just talking to yourself.
Right.
Literally.
That's fair. That's fair. That's absolutely
the best fucking scripting.
That's
have
fair.
A voice in your head.
Yeah, that's an accurate statement. So I think you're just playing the conversation in your head and then having a partner to role play. Like we role play Monday through Thursday, 9 to 9:30 every day, 30 minutes, and we do it around our activities. So I would say plug into that.
Okay. So for scripting, I'm just imagining if I, you know, I don't have a team or community that's doing it. Yeah. And so in theory, I need to think through the common questions that are asked in real estate and then just navigate objections to all of them. That's like really basically.
I don't even like using the word objection, and I'm sure you're probably similar to that, right? We get questions around, hey, what do you charge? Why do you charge that? Will you do it for cheaper? Like, or, you know, what does your marketing plan look like? Or what does it look like to use you as a buyer's agent? What do you charge as a buyer's agent? What does it look like to work with a buyer's agent? Like, these are just general questions that people want to gather information. And if you can just get really good at packaging your information, and I think that's the key, is how good can you package your information that you've thought of and communicate it back to the client? Does that make sense? Am I losing you there at all? Or like it's for me, it's so simple, right? Because it's just the packaging and the way we communicate. Like when a seller goes, what's it like to work with you? Well, we go into our Foursquare, which maybe we'll get into, or,
dude, you know, I freaking love your Foursquare.
Or we go we talk about commissions and then maybe you have a flexible commission structure. It's all about the presentation and your packaging and the way that you communicate. And that should answer the questions. And if your presentation's on point, like your buyer consultation, your listing appointment, or even your cash buy appointment's on point, you're really not going to get a bunch of questions because you've already brought them up. You're already talking about it. You're already going through it. You already have all the information. It's already there, right? You've already overcame it. You've already talked about it. All the information is there. Now it's just time for them to make a decision.
Okay. So Matt, so far we've talked about knowing what to say, like the scripting part, which you're totally right. People overlook that so much. They're just like, I always need to, you know, they're thinking about making their actual buyer's packet or having their email templates or whatever. But really, ultimately, this business is sales. It's like, and sales has a gross connotation, but it's really not. It's like your ability to communicate and persuasively lead people in a certain direction. And if you do not know what to say and have done those reps repeatedly, then in those moments, you're going to freeze up. And when you freeze deer in the headlights, people are like, oh, got it, move on. You know, that's the moment.
Oh, you don't know your shit.
So like the scripting, although no one wants to do it, and because it's freaking awkward, like, okay, Matt, you pretend, and then I have to say it out loud, and it's like this uncomfortable feeling, but like it's those moments, those reps that make you into the agent that you want to be.
100% right. And I'm glad that you even brought it up, because one of my biggest pet peeves is when an agent says, I'm not a salesperson. Like, I'm not a salesperson. I just want to help people get what they want, right? I'm like, what the fuck do you think that is? Like, you're fact finding. You're finding the issues. You're finding the problems. You're then solving those problems. That's all sales is. Like, we're not talking about the old school tactic based selling of like, if they do this, then match this tonality and go with it, which all like, it's all good to have mirror and matching and tonality and stuff. But like, I'm talking about information based selling. Gather as much information as you possibly can. Take them down the track. And help them get all the information that they can, and then help them with amazing power questions and phenomenal questions to help them make a fucking decision. That's what we're doing when you're talking about sales. You're really helping people gather information and make a decision that's best for them and their family. Let's be honest. When's the last time you closed someone on buying a fucking house? This isn't a watch purchase. This isn't a purchase where you're buying a brand new car and we're using car dealer techniques to close a fucking deal. Like, we're literally just helping facilitate a transaction and navigating the risk portions and helping people make decisions. But the big sales piece is in your follow-up. It's in how many conversations you having, what are your contacts, and what are you doing activity-wise?
Dude, let's go deep into that because, okay. You know, before we hit record, we were talking about how, like, you know, doing the activities, doing the boring stuff and like the power and the follow up. So, okay, we have the scripts, we're practicing, we're bought in, we're doing that. And then what is your follow up process look like? What's the boring shit?
I think it breaks down to stages for me, right? Everything's systematic. It depends on the stage. Like, is it a new lead? You got to touch it less than 5 minutes. I mean, honestly, our goal is to be on that lead less than 30 seconds. If we're unresponsive, we're going to touch that lead 60 times in the next 10 days. Our 10 days of pain is nasty. The agent's going to do about 14 phone calls and probably 10 text messages. And our automation is going to do another 40 touches on that between email, ringless voicemail, and automated text messages. You know, and then if we've talked to you, that's where it really, the rubber meets the road, because it's going to be up to the agent how we follow up depending on that conversation. If you didn't set an appointment, did you set up? Did you get permission to follow up? Did you get permission to have later contact? And whatever they say, if it's 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, I cut it in half. If someone says I'll be ready in 6 months, I'm calling them 2.5 months, right? So I just want to check in with them, see how everything's going, because everybody's timetable is they're liars. It's either going to be way longer than they say, or it's going to be way sooner than they say. It's never the fucking time that they say. It's very rarely, oh yeah, I'll be ready in 30 days, and they're ready in 30 days. I rarely have ever seen that happen in my life. So I look for them to tell me how to follow up. And then based on that, I follow up with value. Okay. So again, cut it in half. And then I'm on top of them from that on. And then I'll call them in 2.5 months. And then boom, I'm seeing where they're at. And then I'm going to set another follow up in a week, and then another follow up in 3 weeks. And then I just continue to set it up once I've talked to them. If I haven't talked to them, let's talk about that, because cold lead follow-up is probably one of the biggest things you could ever do in your life. If you're buying internet leads, if you're getting referrals, if you're doing anything besides just referral-based business, if you're actually out there grinding, try to grow your business, this is my cold follow-up. We're 60 touches in the first 10 days. New lead comes in. We're 60 touches in 10 days. That's 14 calls from the agent himself, and then automation will take care of everything else. I tell my agents to text on top of those 14. So they're going to get somewhere between 20 to 28 touches, the agent itself. My automation is built out with 45 touches between email, ringless voicemail, text messages, and then direct mail. So a lead comes in, we're smashing it for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, if they're still unresponsive, we'll go to, they go on a 12-month action plan. The agent will go to weekly follow-up for the next 4 weeks. If they still didn't get a hold of them for that 4 weeks, they'll go bi-weekly for 1 month. And then after that, they'll go monthly forever. So they'll always call that lead every month until they either buy, die, or sell is what I say. And then the automation will drip on them twice a month for the next, I think it's built out for 3.5 years is what it will do until they transact. That's if they've never talked to us. We're just going to continue to be in their face.
Okay. Cold lead comes in real quick. Where are your cold leads coming from?
PPC. That would be the best one. PPC. I use Sierra Interactive for buyer leads. I've been doing some stuff with ZBuyer, and then just our traditional PPC stuff. And then my investment leads, I use a company, GeoFlip. If you want an introduction, I would be happy to give you one. Tell Greg Bilbro that Matt Chick sent you, and he'll take good care of you. But if you're looking for investment leads, it's some of the best leads out there.
Okay. So hypothetically, PPC lead comes in, and yep. In what format? Is it going directly to your CRM? Is it like a call? How does that work?
Yeah, it could come in a gamut of sources. If I'm paying for PPC, it's typically dropping into an email. My CRM recognizes the email. It pulls it into Follow-Up Boss. Follow-Up Boss won't allow automation. All it does is email automation currently. So then it pumps into Go High Level that I built out. And then Go High Level will do 100% of the rest of the automation for me. So it talks to two different systems.
You're using Follow-Up Boss and Go High Level.
Correct.
So two different CRMs.
Correct.
And do you have a traditional team these days?
I do, yeah.
You do. Okay. So when the PPC lead comes in, it goes to Follow-Up Boss. Follow-Up Boss only does the email automations. So it will jump to Go High Level. And then are your agents managing two CRMs? Are they?
No. So you can create custom. So what I can do is I can start and stop automation through Follow-Up Boss using tags that push to Go High Level. So I can put stop automation. It will stop the automation. I could put, you know, anytime a lead comes in, automation already turns on. So agent is just responsible for stopping automation. So they stop the automation if they don't want any more follow-up because they made contact with them. So I have three agents in Go High Level. I have one agent that manages every lead that goes in there, and they just make sure it's all getting touched.
Okay, gotcha. And then, so just to recap real quick.
Yeah.
So when the lead comes in, because you mentioned before that you want the reach out to occur within 30 seconds or less.
Yeah. First to claim.
First to claim. Okay. So it comes in there and then your agents are on top of it.
They're fighting three agents.
Sorry, I'm like taking notes, dude. There's
no, it's all good. So I have so on the investment space, I only have one person taking those leads. On my retail space, seller and buyer leads, I have a total of 8 agents right now, I believe, that are licensed. They're fighting for every one of those leads.
Ugh. Okay. That's a whole other side note that we could go on. Like, how are you getting agents to fight over the leads? Like, literally culture. And we could talk about that too. We have too much to talk about. So I'm going to bring it back in, but that is something that I've seen like industry wide. And I think there's a lot that comes from like your background in investing. And I talked about this on another podcast, like the wholesalers, speed to lead, aggressive, like incredible marketing, budgets. And they like take it all very seriously. And so when a lead comes in, they're like all on it. And that's a generalization, of course, but then like the lead comes into the agent lap. And if it's like a normal agent, they're just like, oh, like maybe I'll call it later. You know, maybe I'll call I don't want to bother them. You know, maybe I'll just shoot them a text. And so the fact that I think listeners, guys, if you're listening to this, like their speed to lead is 30 seconds after the lead populates, and they are fighting over this. And then from that, 60 touches in the first 10 days. And I hear agents all the time who are like, oh, I don't want to bother them. And they've like not called them at all. And it's been 3 days.
Well, they're not going to convert. Like internet leads convert it. If you're really good, they're converting between 2.5%, 2 to 3%. And that's like a cheap internet lead. I'm not talking like Zillow preferred agents. I'm not talking about like realtor.com preferred agents. Like those leads, I think they convert a little higher, 8 to 10% from whatever.
Yeah, sure.
I don't participate, but like you're talking about stuff that's just general, you know, $12 a lead shit. They convert it 2%. So you have to be in front of them because I'm not the only website they filled shit out on. I'm going against 4 or 5 or 6 different agents. I just know that my team will follow up longer, harder than any other agent out there. Like, and I truly believe that because that's what we've instilled in them. Like I won't hire you if you don't have that tenacity inside of you. Like if you're not willing to do it, you won't last here because we talk about it every day.
That pumps me up. Okay. So the lead comes in, there's the first 10 days of pain, which they're getting 60 plus touches, different forms of automation in addition to outreach, in addition to text. And then you went through your whole process, but you mentioned automation. And I know that this is something that I think actually a lot of agents just default to. They're like, I just need to build the system so that way I never have to actually call the lead. So two things I want to talk about is what do you guys have like, how many days in the office? Like, are you calling for 3 hours? Like what that process looks like in addition to,
So, you know, honestly, the biggest, and I'll bring this up, one of the biggest challenges with being at eXp is that we are cloud-based, right? I have to go spend $4,000-$6,000 a month to have an office, which I'm just not willing to do as of right now, right? So, we're all pretty much working remotely. Sometimes, I mean, 2 or 3 people show up at my house every day and we work out of my garage. But what we do is we manage it. And what I mean by that is every day I'm in the CRM, I'm looking at the leads came in. Did we touch them? Did we not touch them? I'm listening to phone calls and I'm trying to be that. I am that leader that's going to double check that we do exactly what we say we're going to do. The things that you committed to doing, I am going to double check it. So we're in there looking and I'm actually coaching through our CRM. I'll listen to a phone call. I'll say, hey, do this next time. They'll send a text message. I'll say, try to this text message next time. So I actually use our CRM for our training purposes. Because I don't think there's a better training platform than anything than on the job, right? So, and maybe that's a scalability problem. When I'm back up to 25, 30 agents, that might be a headache, but I think I can train someone to do what I do. So that's how we're doing it right now is I'm in there every day and they know I'm looking and they know it's nobody else. It's not like I hired a VA to go in there and look. I'm looking.
Yeah, and you don't sugarcoat.
No, fuck no. Hey, so if they're not gonna do it, and they've all committed to doing it, right? I don't tell anybody what they have to do, but I hold them accountable to their goals. They all have stated they wanted to be successful in this business, and they have every one of them has stated their drive to go make as much money as they possibly can. And lucky for me, I know what it takes to do that. I know what it takes to go make $500,000 selling retail real estate. I know what it takes to go sell 50 units. I know what it takes to do that so I can go coach to that. Now I'm looking for a certain avatar. I think it takes a certain person, quite honestly.
100% agree. Okay. So common mistakes as you're in the CRM and you're overseeing what your agents are doing, which by the way, if you're a team leader, implied task is that you have a CRM, you have a system in which you have visibility over your agents. Cause that's something that I hear and see a lot too. But anyway, as you are listening to these calls and monitoring the text, what are some common mistakes that you see agents make?
Getting flustered on the phone, making it, you know, the biggest one is just calling and taking the first no. You know, they're not pushing past the uncomfortable piece. I think that would be one of them. Dropping the ball when we're busy is be another one. And I hate using the word drop of the ball because my team's probably going to listen to this and be like, this guy's such a dick. But like, it's, you know, you take a lead on Friday knowing you're busy all weekend and then you don't touch it for those 2 days. And that's not what you committed to. And you said you were going to take the leads. You told me you were going to run 10 days of pain as prescribed. There's no such thing as a day off in real estate. Now, if you miss a day because you're slammed, you're on appointments, like you could pretty catch that up. But if you're missing 2, 3, 4 days at a time, you're not doing what's expected and you're not doing the things that it's going to take to convert that lead. So what I would say the biggest mistake is like, signing up for something that you don't know if you're quite willing to do the work to get the conversion that you need. The other piece is like a lot of our agents are new or they've only got a year, you know, converting cold leads is a skill set. So it's just continue to train, continue to get better at the conversation and the framework and the track work of the conversation and how to convert. And then internalizing the script. This is another one is internalizing the script so well that you don't need the script and you can just be human. Like you just can be human, you know, like just have the conversation, keep the framework. I always say framework because that's how I've built everything, but keep the path of the outline of the script in your mind so you know where to take the client, but make it superhuman. You know, the other thing I would say most of them miss, now you got me on a rant, getting deep in the question. So they'll hear something and they'll go to the next question. I really like to grab something. Like if I can get them to open up about something or tell me, you know, that they're selling because of the equity or they're selling because they need to move fast. I like to go 3 questions deep on that motivation because I like to use motivation to set. And I think that's a skill set that people could acquire. So that I wish they could do that a little bit better.
Yeah, but when they're not familiar with the script and they haven't like really embodied it, it's hard to push in those moments because you're like, I don't even know what to say. I don't know what to push. And then it's going to throw me off. And so I do this loops all the way back to scripting.
Yeah. 100%. And dude, it's not sexy, you know, and listen, I've had people show up to script for a year straight and then I never see them again. And then they show up for 3 weeks and and we can all get better all the time. Myself and you included, like there's conversations we can get better in. And I think it's just being committed to always learning and getting better. Like these conversations that we're having now, like I never thought I was going to, like I've always got buyer broker signed. But I never thought I was actually going to have to tell the buyer, hey, dude, you're actually going to pay me this shit. Coffee. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a different conversation. I got buyer broker signed to protect myself, but I never was like, hey, dude, just so you know, like, you're going to pay this. Like, now that's a real conversation. You know, it could be. So,
dude, that's interesting. The one, we do scripts once a week too, but we were talking about this at NAR stuff this past week. And like, one of the agents had come up with was that the conversation would be like, hey, I'm going to do everything in my power to have this as a part of the negotiation within the offer that you're doing. So the seller could pay this. But if that is not possible, then this is, you know, what it looks like. And it kind of gives them, and this is just an idea, but it kind of gives them more of like a hope. And it's kind of like a softer where you're still saying like you're on the hook. However, I'm going to do everything in my power to make this not be your responsibility. I thought that was kind of a good idea.
Yeah. We've been playing with the idea of some packaging, like, hey, this is what depending on what you want, this is what it will look like. I think for us, I'm really trying to figure out what EXP is going to do here, but I'm going to try to get compensated from both sides where buyers will be 4% for me. You know, like I'll charge 2% or 1.5% to my buyer, and then I'll go get 2.5, whatever I can get from the seller, and try to make 3.5-4% buyer agent commission, where before we were taking whatever the fuck's on the MLS, right? I'm excited about
totally. No, and that, I mean, it reminds me a lot of my early days when I was working with investors who were buying properties that were $40,000. And so like the MLS 3%, I mean, like I can't live. Are you kidding me? No. And so it really brings me back to those days of being like, okay, I'm going to get everything I can from the seller. Also buyer's premium. So sorry. Got to eat, bro. You know, like minimum it's going to be, and you know, it's going to weed out. And I think David Green was saying this the other day, but it's going to weed out the people who cannot have tough conversations. Because if you don't have the ability to look someone in the eye and like talk about money, then this industry is no longer going to be the piece of cake that it was important. Although a lot of people are like, it's always been hard, but you know what I mean?
The same agent that's been saying, hey, standard 6% commission. Like I've never used those words. I've always told my sellers commission is negotiable. This is what you get when you hire me. And this is why I charge what I charge. Right.
Okay. Okay. So we've talked about a lot of things already. We've talked about scripting. We talked about follow-up. We talked about the aggression required in order to pursue cold leads. I do want to touch on, because it's been too long since, you know, especially this listener base has heard about the Foursquare method. And I think it's so freaking cool and powerful. Would you be open to sharing? What is the Foursquare method?
Yeah. So, I mean, the Foursquare method kind of came out of a necessity, and I was on an appointment. I was my first year in real estate, and I was sent to an appointment for a buddy of mine. And if I closed the appointment, he would give me 30% of the wholesale. He was a cash buyer. He was out of town. He sent me on the appointment. It was actually a really nice house. The house was decent shape. It was total listable property. And I've always had the mentality, and maybe this is the car guy in me, but I don't leave until I have docs signed. That's literally what I'm like. You got to have to kick me out of the house, or I'm leaving here with signatures. Even if I make the contract cancelable, I'm getting you to sign something with me, right? Yeah. That's my goal. So I was in this house, dude, for almost 2.5 hours, had amazing rapport, husband and wife loved me, but like offering them 60 cents, I couldn't get them to take it. I was 60 cents of what it was worth, right? And that's what we were buying at the time. And I think we were selling them at like 70, and there's just no way they were signing this thing. So I actually I had a blank piece of paper in my bag, and I just said, hey, do you know there's actually more than one way to sell a home? And they were like, what? No. And I'm like, do you want me to share them with you? And they were like, yeah, we'd love to. So I don't know if you guys, and it all comes like, cause obviously my background, I had 6-7 years in the car business. We didn't Foursquare a lot of people, but I always knew of a Foursquare, and a Foursquare in the car business is where they draw the X and they go purchase of the vehicle is this, down payment is this, pack is this, and interest rates this, your payment is this, sign here. So what I did is I drew 4 squares, not in an X, but kind of in a straight line. I drew 4 squares and I said, listen, 98% of the people you're going to talk to are going to, they're going to talk about what's called retail real estate. Retail real estate is where you hire an agent on the market. You hire an agent, they come in, and then I start listing everything. They do pictures, right? They're going to have showings. You're going to have multiple people in your home. There's probably going to be an inspection. And I just kind of go through and I list the listing process and then the listing transaction process. I said, the good thing about going retail is you're actually going to net the most amount of money. And that's 92% of whatever we sell your house for. I got 6% commissions and 2% in title fees. 2% title fees is actually a little high, but it's about 1-1.5%. And then I would say, but you're going to net the most amount of money. And I said, your house, after we looked at everything, it looks like we can sell your house for $400,000. You would net X, right? And I showed them their net. And then I said, the other way is what we call institutional buyers. Institutional buyers, they have what's called a buy box. Okay. So this is big box buyers that are going to buy one of two reasons, one, appreciation, or two, cash flow, or a combination of both realistically. But they're either people that want to, you know, they're going to buy the house, they're going to hold the house, and then they're going to sell it at a later date for more money, or they're going to buy the house, hold the house, and they're going to generate cash flow over time. They're typically looking for a specific product, 3 beds, 2 bath, no pool. And then I kind of list out what institutional buyers are looking for. And then I said, now institutional buyers at this time, they were paying somewhere between 75 and 80% of ARV. So I'd go through that process to switch you a net. Then I said, then there's guys like me fixing flippers. We're, you know, we're probably the easiest transaction, 10-day close, no inspection, no appraisal, no commissions, and just list out what a cash offer gets them. And then I wrote, you're going to net somewhere between 60 and 65% of value, ARV. And I wrote that number down. And then I said, then the guys you got to watch out for is what we call wholesalers, right? And then I wrote wholesalers in the fourth box. And I go, these guys, they're going to say they do everything like me. They're going to buy your house at 55, 60 cents on the dollar. And then they're just going to turn around and sell it to me at 70 to 75%. These are the guys you want to watch out for. And I crossed an X on the wholesaler piece. And I said, which one resonates the most with you? And they said, retail. I said, perfect. Do you want to be live on the market? And when would your home be ready for pictures? And they said, we could have it ready in 2 weeks. Pulled out an EER and I signed a fucking EER with them. Went back to my buddy and I said, hey, dude, I couldn't get it as a cash deal, but I got it as a listing. I'll give you 70% of it. He goes, dude, let's just split it. He goes, why don't you keep 70 and give me 30% referral? So that's where it came from. It just kind of came from that. And I've run 100% of my listing appointments. That's the philosophy of my team. We have it more sophisticated now. Obviously, we have it in a seller's packet. It's not just a napkin. And it's just a great way to show your clients or the potential clients that you actually know what the fuck you're talking about. And there's nothing on that paper that I can't execute today. So it doesn't give them an out. They're not like, well, let me go see what Open Door has. You're like, great. You know, I actually have a great relationship with Open Door. Typically, sometimes they can send me a little higher offer. Would you like me to submit it for you? Or like, you know what I'm saying? Like we would just go through, I go, hey, you know, I actually have a couple other buyers that actually buy higher than Open Door. Would you like me to get them over to them? And they'd be like, yeah, I'd be like, cool. Then I'd pull out an ER and now I write in, I wouldn't even do co-broke. I'd be like, hey, we're going to go ahead. We'll do a 3%. That's for me procuring a buyer for you. The buyer won't have a commission due to them and you guys would net more money. And then I would go shop the offer if that's the way they went. So I would execute an EER retail, execute an EER for institutional, and then a purchase contract for, fix and flip. Now the wholesaler piece I've changed. I've put it to creative finance. So where we'll buy your house on seller carry terms.
Dude, I was going to say that because, you know, I've heard the Foursquare before and I was like, yeah. He's changed it because it used to be creative finance.
No, it is creative finance now. But back when I'm telling this story, it was wholesalers.
Yeah.
So now it's probably been creative finance for 2.5 years. So It's all creative finance. We can, you know, and then what I asked for creative finance, I say, hey, listen, if you could get more money for it, are you okay with money over time or do you want all the money up front? And depending on how they answer that question will depend if I continue to go on creative finance.
Yeah. The thing that I love about this so much is a couple of reasons. Like one, the minute you're like, and you ask that question every time, you're like, did you know that there's 4 ways that you could sell your house?
Yeah.
No one asks that and that you've got their interest now. They're like, wait, what? I thought I only had one option. And so they're like, ooh, they're already bought in. And the fact that you can present literally all of the options out there. So no matter what is the right fit for them, they choose you. Like that's
like now it's just timing. When do they want to do it?
Right. And it's cool listening to you too, because like you are very smooth. Like you can tell that you've said that a bajillion times. And again, to go back to scripts, it's like, how many times have you said it out loud? How many times have you said it to your dog? How many times have you said it to your mom?
Funny you say that, because I tell people before when I first got in this business, I used to role play with my wife and she fucking hated it, but I loved it because she was so critical. Like she was just like throw shit out just to like be a dick about it because she didn't want to do it. And like she would throw like zingers and I'm like, oh, that's a good one.
Dude,
and
then
I would
overcome
it. She goes, I would never sell my house with you. And she's like, why? She goes, you're just too smooth. It feels sleazy. And I'm like, dude, I'm just going. Like we're just having fun now. So like it was just like she was sick and tired of me. Like I would be like, hey, I'm going to say this. What would you say? Like she was sick and tired of it. And I tell people like all the time, dude, have a buddy, have a dog. I don't care. Like in your car driving to the appointment. Right. Role play it in your mind what you're going to say. Like there's a huge difference. And I'm sure you could attest to this being in the military and everything else, but like there's a huge difference in being prepared to go execute and just trying to show up and perform. Like being prepared to execute is far greater. Sure, is there times that it's just fucked up and you got to figure it out in the moment? 100%. And hopefully you're quick enough to do that. But like 99% of the times, if you show up prepared, you will crush everything you do. Prepare for your phone call. You'll crush it. Prepare for your spouse. You'll crush it. Prepare to go to the gym. You'll crush it. Prepare to go on a listing appointment. You'll crush it. If you're just fucking prepared, you show up way better. And if you show up way better, like you just tend to crush shit and it's just way more fun.
Dude, and it's crazy too, because like, okay, the preparedness leads to you being more confident while you're saying it in those conversations, and your confidence in preparedness will lead to a higher success rate, which creates a positive feedback loop, because it's like, oh, I prepared, I was confident, success happened, therefore I'm going to keep doing it. You know what I mean? Yep. And it leads in that those tiny, tiny successes, those tiny wins over time is what builds your confidence. Cause I also hear about like imposter syndrome and, you know, just in general, like, oh, like now you get confidence by trying things, doing things, learning things, and then having small wins and those wins compounding over time.
And also the energy behind it. Like when you fucking win, when you get the listing, when they say yes, when you show up for yourself, like you're jacked. Like you get energy, man. I get jacked when my agents get shit. I have a gal on my team, Rebecca. She's been with me for probably three years, maybe even a little longer. But like it was a slow start. She is fucking on fire the last 4 months. She's picking up like a listing a week, a buyer a week. She just bought a house today on a cash deal, got docs executed. We're probably going to rip like 35 on it. And I'm jacked through the fucking roof because she's calling me saying she got docs signed. You know, like it's just so much energy and winning. Like so much energy in executing your goals. Like it's just so fucking fun. Like if you're not having fun, it's probably because you're breaking the promises to yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like you're not showing up how the way you want to show up. Like if you're feeling shitty, like just go execute and fucking get some wins and you'll have all the energy you need to keep going.
Before this, you were talking about feeling good because you were doing the activities in like less shiny object syndrome. Yeah. So can you talk about that? Like what were you doing and why do you feel so good now? Anything on that?
Yeah. When we were running Impact, like we were rocking. We're doing 300 plus transactions a year. We were flip. I think at the one time we had 23 flips going like shit. Like we just were just crushing, man. We were making good money. So we were like, oh, let's go build a CRM. That will be the next thing. And we dumped 80 grand into a CRM that went fucking nowhere, that I couldn't even tell you how to log into the motherfucker right now. Excuse my language, but I couldn't even tell you how to log into it. Like it's gone. Burned $80,000 on fire. We bought a nail salon that produced like very no revenue. Like I've owned a nail salon for 2 years. I don't even like talking about it because it's been so piss poor of a investment. Like we literally lost, like I haven't lost any money, but I think I've made a total of $1,500 in 2 years on owning a business. Like it's stupid. Like I should have never, I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know how to manage it. I didn't like, so we just had like, I was always like trying to find another stream of income. And like, you know, everybody talks about, you know, seven streams of income, you become wealthy. And like, I was just chasing that. But like once the split with Fused happened, it was like, you had to redefine. And I don't know, you might not have known this about me, but like my greatest gift is step one. Like I'm extremely good at getting the relationship, creating the opportunity, like having the idea, being the visionary. I was really, really good at step one, but I relied on everybody else. I relied on Mickey, Jeremy, every one of our staff, every one of our team to go do step two through fucking 99. Like I just wasn't a step two guy. Like I liked step one. There was energy in step one. I got the doc signed. I was on to the next thing, right? So it was a combination of like all that. Like, so at the beginning of last year, January 2023, I said, I'm only going to do three things. I'm going to have a real estate team. I'm going to invest in real estate and I'm going to coach real estate. That's all I fucking do. And I'm just going to become the best leader that I possibly can for my team. So all of them can go crush, right? I didn't want to defert back to just being an agent. That's not my passion in life. I like being a leader. I like help. I like making money through others. I like having a real estate team. So I knew that I didn't want to just go be an agent regardless. I could just go make a bunch of money. So when my life became that simple, it actually became a little boring. And I don't like, boring to me is scary, right? Cause I used to say I thrived in chaos, but it was probably the last 6 months I've realized chaos stole a lot of results from me. Like chaos. I thought I was high energy. I thought I was fun. I was bouncing. It was cool. Like fucking we're killing it because chaos, right? But chaos doesn't produce results. So what I have found out about myself is if I can just stay in it, even though that I'm like thinking about something else, if I can just stay the fuck in it and execute over and over and over and show other people how to execute over and over and over, you can build something that's pretty fucking cool. So it's just been like and it's been a learning experience for me for the last 14 fucking months. Like that's not something that I would ever say that I had a skill set and I'm still working on it. But dude, has it produced a result? You know, I'm in my personal life, I'm down 55 fucking pounds by eating right and exercising. I'm fucking, my team's doing more transactions, you know, than is done in the last 8 months. We're picking up more investment deals. Last year we worked out of 22 flips. There was a shit show, lost fucking $500,000 doing it. You know, so like, but it's so cool that you can go find, you know, you can still find value amidst in all of it. And it was just slow the fuck down, do the right thing over and over and over. And then the result will just come. Like I've always been results oriented. Like, I don't know if I give a fuck about the result anymore. I think I get more enjoyment right now or just getting up and doing the activity. Cause I know if I go do the activity, the result's already done. So it has to happen. If I eat less than 2,500 calories a day, I will lose weight. If I make 50 calls, I will find business. If I follow up with my agents every day, ask them what they're doing, they tend to work more. So it just becomes simple.
Okay, there's a lot of really good nuggets in there. I'm like, fuck, which way do I go?
I went off. I apologize. Dude, I went off.
I love it. No, that's what I'm here for, man. Okay, have you seen that Alex Hormozi? I think it was like a reel or a clip or wherever, where he takes 7 different cups of water, and he has like a big cup, and he pours a little bit in each cup, and then was like, is either, and I don't know what the punchline was, but basically it's like none of these are worth a damn. So whoever came up with the idea of 7 streams of income, you have to spread yourself in a million different directions in order to be wealthy. It's like the idea, which I love, because just similar to you, I've done that too.
Yeah.
Like I've, you know, let's do the team. Let's start a nationwide meetup. Let's invest in this historic property. Like there's just so many different, like I was in so many different things. And then when I came to the realization that like less really is more, and the deeper you can go on one thing and making it awesome and like pouring all of your energy into it, it's like the results that you get from that, just like, the results are just so much more than if you pour a little bit of water into 7 different cups.
But don't you feel like the results almost expected at that point? Like, is there anything that you've ever shown up for in your life that you gave 110% in? That didn't fucking work to the, like what you, like that didn't work. Like I can't think of anything, and maybe there's some, I'm sure there's something, right? That you give your heart and soul to and it just doesn't work out. I'm sure people got tons of those stories, but for me, there's nothing that I've put 100% in and haven't been able to figure it the fuck out. And I think that's what people miss is they want, you know what I've really enjoyed? Maybe it's not Alex Hormozi. It's another social media. It's a couple of people on this bandwagon. And I fucking love it right now. It's the people like, hey, your morning routine is getting in the way of you fucking working. Like your morning routine's 4 hours fucking long. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, gosh, I always felt weird that I would get up at 5:30, go to the gym, and I'm trying to start work by 7. I didn't meditate. I didn't go on a cold plunge. I wanted to just get to fucking work because I felt like work is where my results was. I wasn't chasing being centered as an individual, which I'm sure it's great for people, but that's not what I was chasing. I want to go chase the business, right? So I've really enjoyed like that message coming out to the marketplace because I fucking believe it, man. Like people would talk about their morning routines. I'm like, bro, I'd be fucking exhausted. You got your fucking cold plunge. You got your workout. You got your 20 minutes of reading. You got your journaling. Like you got a lot of shit going on right there.
Dude, so much.
You know,
I'm a morning person though. I am like a morning routine person, but you know, even like I like Miracle Morning. There's like Savers is an acronym for what is that? Like 6 things. I can't math. Savers, whatever. I don't do every, you know, one every single day. It's like depending on the day is the one thing that I might do that I might need to be my best version of myself. Yeah. But I'm totally like, I'm not going to spend 4 hours doing it because the idea for me and the intent of my morning routine is to get myself to a place where I have complete clarity and focus on what is most important so I can start work in a efficient manner and not just be reactive as opposed to proactive. So like the intent is the same. Like let's fucking get to work.
Yeah.
You know?
And the key word you said there was clarity. like it's so powerful having clarity and prepared for what you're going to do that day. And I think a lot of people miss that as well. Like if you're trying to figure out your day the morning of that you already didn't have an inkling, maybe you're writing out like your daily six, or maybe you're writing down like your tasks that you're definitely trying to get done that day. Like I get that, but you should have an inkling like on your schedule, like what am I doing today? If right. you have white space on your calendar is the fucking devil, dude, because then you're just looking at it going, oh, free day. You're not going to look at it and go, oh, I got time to make 700 calls today. But if you told yourself, I'm making 20 contacts today, I time blocked it here, and you go get your 20 contacts, it's just a better day, right? So it's that clarity. It's the preparation. For sure. You said it perfectly. It's being prepared to go execute on the things that you said you wanted to do.
Totally. And the single or very few things that are most important, not the shiny objects.
Yeah. Yeah. And that can be personal too. Like it doesn't have to be all business. I know we're talking about business, but like if I don't go to the gym, I'm really not as effective. I don't have as high energy through the day. Like I know that about myself. So like there's days I'm like, dude, you got to go work out or you're going to be a lump of shit today. Like you got to go. You got to go, dude. Because that movement gets me going, you know, gets the heart pumping.
That is so true though. And it's like those little wins in the morning. Like for me, the gym in the morning, you know, if it doesn't happen in the morning, it is actually kind of like a domino effect towards more bad decisions. You know, it's like, I didn't work out. Well, fine, I'll eat pizza for lunch. Yeah. Or, you know what I mean? It just like triggers. And so I don't know if this is completely in line, but like on the gym, it makes a huge difference in mental clarity, but also in like setting the day off with like, today's going to be a great day.
Yeah. I'll also tell you, for me, carbs and sugar was fucking poison. Like, not to make this a health podcast,
dude,
but
we
like,
can.
Carbs and sugar, dude. With me cutting out carbs and sugar and going like on a carnivore, dude, it's been a fucking game changer for me personally.
Yeah. Are you like 100% carnivore? Because like, let's in the wrap up. Let's talk. Let's talk now about like what have you, dude? 55 pounds down. Congratulations! Yeah. Like, what Thank are you, you. Doing?
Carnivore diet workout every day, you know, and I wouldn't say that I'm like strict carnivore. I do, there's a protein bar that I really like that has 11 carbohydrates in it, that I enjoy as like my sweet indulgence. It's called a Built Bar. It's like a marshmallow bar that I fucking love. I eat one of those every fucking day. So if I had to be honest, my carbs are probably less than 45 to 50 carbs a day. And I try to stay pretty disciplined with it. But honestly, I wasn't doing it to lose weight. Losing weight was a byproduct of doing it. I did it because I really felt like shit. And the doc, like I had my doctor called me and he goes, hey dude, you're diabetic. I'm like, fuck you. I ain't diabetic, dude.
Get out.
He goes, no, dude, you're there. He goes, my A1C was like at 7. So he's like, dude, you're diabetic. And he goes, do you want to get on meds? And I'm like, do I have to get on meds? He goes, dude, you're at a point right now is either you fix it or you go on meds for the rest of your life. And I'm like, fuck that. So like I view carbs and sugar right now like I view drinking. I enjoy drinking. I enjoy carbs and sugar. Maybe I'll do it once every fucking 90 days. Maybe I'll go eat pizza once every 90 days and I'm probably going to be okay with that. But I just view it differently now. But it's been a total game changer in my life. I've always been a gym dude though. I've always enjoyed working out, lifting weights, being strong. Like I've always enjoyed that. It's probably what made me not look like a fucking marshmallow my whole life. But I've enjoyed lifting. So that was never hard for me, but the food was hard. You know, work's never hard. I'm going to relate it to this. Work's never been hard for me. I've always enjoyed work. I've always enjoyed getting up, going to work. I've always really, really enjoyed that. Making phone calls was never hard for me. Was there days that I had call reluctance? Sure. But I enjoyed getting on the phone because I got results. But, you know, my food was hard for me. So like we all have something that we're trying to work through or overcome. You know, food was a legit fucking addiction for me. Like if you've never had to pray your way out of a Circle K, we're not the fucking same. Like, so I didn't buy a fucking candy bar. You know what I'm saying? Like if you've never had to do that shit, then we're not the same. Like I legit love fucking sweets. So it was like, so that was challenging. So I get when people say calling's hard or prospecting's hard or whatever, like I get that maybe there's something legit mentally that you're having to deal with. But here's what I know is when you push past the bullshit you tell yourself, all the fucking lies that you tell yourself, the other side of that's pretty liberating. And you end up having a confidence about yourself that you can take over the world. And I think all of us should just be driving for that thought process. Like, dude, I'm a fucking animal. I'm a machine. You know, I believe God put me here for a big ass reason. And Matt Chick, healthy and fit, has more energy so he can go accomplish that fucking reason. So I think there's a big reason behind a lot of the shit that we do. So I would just tell you to stop believe in the bullshit you tell yourself and just go push as hard as you can past it all.
Dude, I'm a fucking animal. I'm a machine. I love that. I'm like, okay, so I have this thing now where I have a dry erase marker on my mirror in my bathroom. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm like taking like, you know, really focus points or like things I don't, that's, I'm writing that. That's my new thing. Thank you.
Yeah. Patrick. You know, the other thing is like, and this is hard because I'm a feeling oriented dude, like not listening to my feelings anymore. I don't know if you've ever, have you ever experienced that? Like where your feelings are telling you to do something different, but you're just like, fuck my feelings. I'm going to go do what I know I'm supposed to go do. Like, have you ever dealt with any of that?
I've repressed feelings for years. I don't hear them. I'm like one of those people who doesn't feel. So yeah. No, sorry.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get to, right? Like, it's like, I don't feel like calling. Fuck it. Go call anyways. I don't feel like going to the gym. Fuck it. Go to the gym anyways. Right. Like you're at a point where you just systematically do what you're supposed to do. I would say 85% of the people aren't like that. They don't feel like doing something. They don't do it. I think it's very liberating when you just go do the things you say that you wanted to do rather than how you feel. And there's been obviously that's been a huge message on socials for years, but I think I finally understand what that means, which is kind of cool.
Dude, it goes back to the confidence. And then the minute that you do it, you're like, yeah, I am a machine. I am a fucking animal.
Yeah.
Perfect. Start that loop.
Yeah. 100%.
Okay. Matt, what is next for you? I mean, more boring shit or like what are the goals?
So good. Yeah, dude, that's it. You know, so my largest team ever did 285 transactions. I always round up to 300 because I'm a sales guy. But our largest team ever in history was 285 transactions. I want to get to a team that's doing 300 plus transactions a year. We won't be there this year. We'll probably only do 100 to 150 maybe this year. So in the next 5 years, I want to do 350 plus transactions. In the investment space, we have a goal to flip 75 homes and then wholesale another, you know, 40. So we'd like to get to about 125 transactions, or we're really trying to get around that $3 to $3.5 million top line revenue in the investment space. And then eventually, I don't know when I'll really plug in and start coaching real estate. I don't know if I do it from a platform or from like one-on-one or what, but dude, honestly, those are the three things I'm doing. That's it. And then I'm just going to continue to be healthy in my personal life and build hot rods. I mean, I've told myself I'm not allowed to think of anything else. So I couldn't even give you another answer. I do three things. I run a real estate team. I own an investment company that's going to do $3.5 million. And then, I coach in real estate for the people that are driven enough to do it.
Dude, I have one more question before wrap up, but I want to check with you first. Like, do you have 5 extra minutes if we go overtime
whatever. Yeah.
No, okay, you're cool. Good. So this was not on the agenda to ask. I'm curious about your team structure. You know, your goal is to do 300, you know, transactions. Where was it? I wrote it down.
Yeah. 350.
350. So right now, and you mentioned before that you have 8 agents, like what are they all? Can you walk me through your team model structure?
Yeah. So I have a total of 12 people or 12 or 13 people. I would say 4 or 5 of those only work in the investment space. They're non-licensed agents, cold called acquisitions, dispositions. The rest are real estate agents. Like I said, I think there's 8. I should know that. It's kind of dick that I don't, but I think
I was thinking 8. That, but that's fine.
Yeah. No, it's kind of fucked up. I should like, if it's that small, I should all know their names. Don't ask for their names right now. I'm just kidding. I would know all of them. They're 8. I know that I need more agents. So I wouldn't say I'm recruiting. I'm trying to attract agents that fit my thing. But I'm looking for more agents. I want to get to 15 agents and then see what that can produce and then go to 20 agents, see what that can produce. I got a buddy of mine that has 175 units pending right now, and he probably doesn't know this, but you know, he's kind of the dude that like, I would like to model my business after what he does. And I coach with him. So I think he'd be okay with me saying that, but he's into development, you know, 40% of his real estate is his development that he passes out to the team, but he's got 175 pending. He'll do over 600 units this year and he stays extremely profitable. So I think it's just running a business that looks like that. He has 25 agents on his team. I think I'll stay under, you know, 35, 40 agents max to be able to hit those goals. I really want agents to be producing. And I know that's funny because we all say that. We all want producing agents. I want some killers. I want agents doing 40, 50 deals a year. I want 2 or 3 of those. And then if I have a bunch of agents doing 10 to 12, I'm okay with that. But I will change a few people's lives through real estate, and that will be on my team. And I just got to find the right people. And I think I have a couple of them now that will do that task.
Okay. So with the 12 to 13 people, you mentioned the 4 to 5 in the investment space, cold call, acquisition, dispo, yeah. and then 8 agents. Are all of these agents, are they doing it all? They're doing buyers and sellers, or are they buyers agents? Are they, sorry?
Yeah. Buyers and sellers. They have to be script trained before they can get leads. We're a heavy lead team. I'm generating about 350 leads a month right now in the retail space. So we're heavy generated leads. And then they self-gen the rest through open houses or cold calling or however they want to self-gen. Gotcha. We coach them on however they want to lead gen. And then we coach them on how to convert leads. My split structure is pretty aggressive, you know, on their deals, it's really on self-gen deals, it's 50-50 for the first 10. After that, it's 70-30. They keep 70. I get 30. On my leads though, we're 60-40, 60 to the company, 40% to the agent. So on the investment deals, I split. If it's my lead, I keep 80%. Acquisitions gets 20. And then if it's their lead, they self-gen it. It's a 50-50 split on the investment space, and we'll do that. That's forever. It never caps. But we'll flip with people. If people want to put up money, we'll flip with them. They can work in nonprofit. So we try to give a lot of opportunities.
Dude, for sure. Curious about admin support leverage.
I have one gal that's helping me run the real estate team. Her name is Hallie. She's fucking amazing. She's a good trainer. She's good at packaging stuff. She's kind of a salary plus a bonus override on the team. And then I have one admin, that takes care of 100% of the transactions, and that's Brittany. So not very big. And I don't think we'll need to be like, we maybe have to go to two admin once we get back to a couple hundred transactions, but my one admin's a fucking dog. She'll do. She could do 150 transactions easy.
Okay. So the gal you said with the real estate team, so her primary role is trainer. You said
she's,
trainer?
Yeah. She is go on appointments, train. I train on Tuesdays. You know, she does all the like I'll have something in my brain. She'll put it on paper. She has a corporate background in corporate training. So putting policies, procedures, SOPs, you know, I'm not very good at that. You're very good at that, but I am not very good at that. So she's doing 100% of that for me. She's been able to take what's in my mind and put it on paper so the agents could go execute it.
Okay, perfect. And then, so got the admin that, and does she also do, you mentioned you do accountability, you are oversight. Mm-hmm. So are you your primary accountability?
Yeah.
/ lead trainer /
correct.
Whatever. Okay.
Yeah, I'm 100% accountability. She'll be like more of a COO, and then I'll probably hire a sales manager once it's time for that.
Okay. That's what I was thinking too. Cause I mean, when you have more agents, but anyway, okay.
That's two for different my purpose. Skill sets also as well, right? Like driving sales and creating trainings is two different skill sets.
Totally. Totally.
You know, so I'll find someone very similar to me to drive sales.
To implement that. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. So we have the one admin, and question the admin real quick. Are they doing TC and listing coordination, or is it just like contract to close?
All of it.
They're doing all of it. Okay.
A plano listing. So the way we've structured it is they get doc signed. My admin takes care of 100% of everything else. They'll come back into negotiations and any agent connection, any agent conversations. My admin will talk to the client, get everything up and running. She'll do all that listing all the way to the close.
Okay, last question, maybe.
Oh, no, you're good.
You mentioned your trainer was salary plus. How are you? Is it by transaction for the admin, or is she also on like a fixed?
It's an override of top line revenue for the company.
Okay, so interesting. I'm just super curious about teams that run their teams like an actual business, because there's so many teams out there that I feel like they'd start, you know, stem from like a rock star agent who's like, I'm crushing it. And then these people come out of the woodwork and they're just like, you're crushing it. I want to be like you. And so the agent's like, I guess I'd start a team. And that's kind of like the beginning of the end, because now they're not producing as much. They're trying to train these people. Like, it's a whole thing. And so I am fascinated the minute that you start talking about like building, you know, a business, like a true business. And
well, leadership is a problem.
I get excited.
You know, leadership is a problem in real estate. It's exactly what you said. You know, someone crushing it, so they decide to open a team and they haven't trained enough to be a leader that can actually lead people to go do the same things that they were able to do, right?
Right.
So, like, I think you're 100% right about that. You know, I've just worked through other people so long, you know, from the car business, I had over 60 employees. We had 25 salespeople to real estate. I did need to make sure that I could sell real estate so I could teach someone how to sell real estate. Yeah. I have no desire to go on appointments. I get more jacked about going on appointments for my people to help them make money than going on appointments for myself. You know, I might sell $15 million in real estate this year, personally, you know. But
it's a great year for a lot of people, Matt. It's a great year.
It's trash.
Okay. These poor listeners, like, dude, we're like savage. They're like crying. No, I'm just kidding. We love you all. You're going to do great.
You are. If you just keep going, you know, it's all, I just don't want it, right? Eventually I'll give it away. Right now I got to take the income to help support the team and what we're building, right? Because we haven't built as fast as I want. You know, sometimes I only have 5 deals pending from the team. Other times I have 12 deals pending from the team. So we're still in that very yo-yo ride of agents figuring this shit out.
Yeah.
Until we get back to 20, 25 pending or 30 or 35 pending at all times, like it'll be, you know, my income helps sustain the team and those low marks, right? So, I mean, it is a business. Like there's no doubt about that. Sometimes a business requires your capital. So I have to go create capital so I can put it back in the business.
I remember those days of when I was a team leader many years ago.
Yeah. Well, what you've done is super smart. Like you've taken all the liability off of you. You've created a cool community that probably pays you pretty decent compared to what a team leader makes, right? So hats off to you for doing that.
Well, thank you. And it's interesting now. I was just talking with Drake, my husband, before. It's like hindsight 2020 on so many things. It's like when you're in the moment, and it kind of goes to experience these poor team, when you're like the team leader, it's like the leadership is lacking. It's like, but they also don't know, and they got into it to be an agent. And then it just, so it's so many things that like you don't know until you live and you experience and you do the best you can in the moment. When the opportunities come, you have to make the, you know what I mean? Yeah. And that's why they listen to podcasts, you know, so they can.
Yeah, you got to self-develop. I mean, there's a ton of leadership books. Like I'm all about them. You know, if you haven't read Extreme Ownership, you haven't lived, in my opinion. You know, you should
turn
read
this
that
off.
First.
Get reading.
Yeah, it's so good.
Okay, Matt. Wrap up questions. Okay. Wrap up number one. What is something cool that you've learned recently, whether business, life, anything?
Carbon sugars are poison. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I would say.
You approve?
Yeah. The. Being consistent in the activity, which I always knew really worked, it works in every area of your life, not just in business. So that's what I would say is like, if you're good at one area of your life, if you're disciplined in one area of life, if you want another area to change, go take that consistent into that area and it will change, hands down, guaranteed.
Dope. What events are you going to in the next 12 months?
I'll probably go to the EXP events. Honestly, I haven't been to very many. I've been very in a rabbit hole. So just been focused. I try to go to a networking event every month, but I don't have any big events planned this year. EXP Con.
Yeah. That's the thing. I've been in EXP since 2019 and I've never been to any EXP event. So maybe this is the year too. Maybe I'll see you there.
Yeah.
Okay. How can listeners help you in your business?
Dude, I'm investing across the nation. So if you guys are across the nation, you got a deal that could potentially be a good investment deal, whether it's a fix and flip, buy and hold, create a finance, or wholesale it. I'll split everything with you 50-50, but would love an opportunity on the deal. So hit me up on IG. I am Matt Chick, or my, I'm sure you can find my cell phone number, 480-980-7078.
Dude, you stole my thunder. That's my last line is, where can people find you?
Say it again.
Say it again.
You can find me on Instagram. I am Matt Chick. Matt Chick on Facebook. I got to be honest with you. I've kind of pulled back on socials because I feel like everybody's a fucking liar. Just kidding. That was aggressive.
You're not kidding. It's fine. Send it.
I hate it. I fucking hate it, man. Like, I hate it. I wish people would just be more real.
Yeah.
And then obviously I just put my cell phone out there. No joke. Shoot me a text. I probably won't answer you if you guys start blowing me up, but if you send me a text, I will get to it. 480-980-7078 or DM me on Instagram at I am Matt Chick. Would love to connect. Anything I can do to help anybody, I truly am a fucking about it. If I'm also looking for an agent in the Carolinas and an agent in Texas that wants to be boots on the ground, you would have to be willing to join my team. But I got some cool opportunities in those states that could potentially be super fucking cool. Aren't you in the Carolinas?
No. Surprise. I moved.
Did you? I was going to say, I just said that and you're fucking right there.
No, it's okay. I'm already
where in are you now?
So I'm not going to join your team.
Where are you at?
Top recruit right here. I'm in Lexington, Kentucky, of all places. I have a lot of family here. And so my world is so virtual anyway. I was like, you know what? Why not?
So cool.
Yeah. So come visit me in Lexington, Kentucky.
What the hell is in Lexington, Kentucky?
University of Kentucky is actually a really big deal. Their basketball team, they just got out of, they got kicked out. So they're not that good this year, apparently. But historically, they've been great. And I think that's the main thing. Horse racing.
There you go.
Come in April or October. Come visit. We'll go to the horse races. I'll get you a big pretty hat and a little dress. No, just kidding.
love it. I'll wear the hat, not the dress.
Okay, deal. Perfect. Cool. Okay, dude, that was my last question. So, cool. Matt, thank you for coming on the show today. You are one of my favorite people.
Thank you.
Listeners, make sure that you let me know how much you love Matt so I can screenshot it and send it to him. But yeah, do that. Awesome. Let me know on Instagram at The Shelby Show or hit up Aaron Amujastegui on the gram. We love to hear from you guys. And otherwise, that is it for today. Matt, thanks again for coming on the show. And Real Estate Rockstars,
thanks so much.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.